Greetings, everybody. Welcome to Flywheel, your number one source for everything crypto, DeFi, and all that's in between. If you want to know what's going on in the world on chain, well, you come to the right place. This is DeFi Dave here with Capital K, and we are here to help you harness the power of the flywheel. And this time around, we're going to the realm of consumer apps, the realm of vaping, to earn. Yes, you heard that right. We had on PuffPaw, Refo, the founder of PuffPaw. They recently raised $6 million from various VCs and angels, which really caught the timeline by storm. And I was just like, Kit, we have to have them on. Like, this is such an interesting concept, and it caused such a stir. I want to hear like what exactly the thinking was with Vape to Earn. It's quite a unique concept, honestly, like the whole mechanic and whole flywheel they have going here. Kit, what are your thoughts on this one?
I think the founder, Refo, has a ton of substance and industry experience.
No pun intended. Yeah.
Yes. And the fact that he comes from 6 years working in the vape industry, and the product is fully manufactured in-house except for this one technical bit that is used, you know, as a supplier from a supplier. But outside of that, I was really impressed with the manufacturing process. Like, yeah, that is because at first when I heard this, I thought it was going to be some drop shipping vape product with like an NFT sticker. But no, this is like actually all in house. So that was very impressive to hear.
Yeah. And we go into detail about all of that and then some. But before we go in, make sure you go ahead, give us a like, subscribe, hit that bell button, leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. Follow us on all of our socials on Twitter, TikTok, and Telegram at Flywheel DeFi. You can follow me on Twitter at DeFiDave22.
You can follow me at 0xCapital_K.
And let's get the flywheel spinning. To Flywheel. I'm your host, DeFi Dave, here as always with Capital K. And this time around, we take a step over to PuffPaw. Yes, we have on the founder of PuffPaw, Refo, who's joining us. I swear, like on the timeline, like not too long ago, all I saw was, you know, PuffPaw raises $6 million. And I don't think I've seen like such a reaction from a raise in a long time, because it's like at the cross section of so many different things. You have like, first of all, you have like something to earn. You have like DePen. You have vaping, which is like the biggest thing in Gen Z and millennials and whatnot. So you really struck a chord there with that raise. And I was like, let's dig into it more. Let's see what's going on. So Refo, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, guys. I'm so happy to be here. And I'm Refo, co-founder of PuffPaw.
Yeah. And before we get into the raise, can we get a little bit more into your background? How did you get into the vape e-cig business, and how did that like lead you into crypto?
Yeah, exactly. So we are three co-founders, and me and my other two co-founders, we are actually college friends. We went to the same college in the US, and the other two, those two folks, they are in the same business forever. This is more like a, you know, collaboration between Web 2 and Web 3. Me personally, I'm always in Web 3 since the pandemic. I'm not an OG. I'm not, you know, too kind of native guy, but I've been here for two cycles. And my last project was a SocialFi project on RWeave. So I always care about application, care about consumer experiences. And, you know, last year, the market was not that good. So I decided to just go back to the Web 2 space to help the other two co-founders, my friends for the whole life, to build vaporizer businesses. We actually build vape brands, you know, the tobacco vape and the cannabis vape in the US. But the most important part is that we own part of the business supplying IQOS, which is the heat no burn vaporizer for Philomara's, one of the top tobacco companies in the world. So that we have our supply chain manufacturer, everything. At the end of last year, it's just a very weird thought. Like, since we have this resources in the vape industry, why not just bring it to Web3, right? I've been in the space for several years. I know how much overlapping between smokers and you know, traders and crypto folks. So it's just a very genuine thought. How about we can vape and earn crypto? It's very crazy, right? And then we look into the scheme mechanism, you know, what we try to do, what can we do better for the vape industry, as well as, you know, to make it as a more fun game in the Web3, not a Ponzi, of course. Everybody hates to earn. To be honest with you, I know everybody is pretty skeptical, you know, a lot of criticism around to earn game. So how can we use this as a code launch strategy to, you know, to bootstrap a new game, a new consumer application, or even a new consumer brand? So there's a lot of thought around that. Started to write my white paper before ETH Denver, you know, and then took it to ETH Denver and met a whole team of Bearchain, got their events, and eventually decided to build this natively on Bearchain. And that comes to Token Dubai, you know, get a lot of support there and keep building. And now we're 6 months so far, and we have, you know, great traction and some kind of influence, good and bad, you know, on Twitter, very controversial, a lot of debates. So I'm, you know, I'm overwhelmed a little bit, but it's kind of very cool experience so far.
Hey, all press is good press. It's funny that you kind of went a boomerang around. You were like in Web3, you said you work on a social supply platform. Then you're like, all right, let me go back to Web2. But, you know, once you're in crypto, at one time, it's like, it's very hard to leave. It's very hard. And you're like, wait a second, there's something here. There's an overlap between, all right, like vaping and traders. And I just think of that one picture of that trader who just passed away, the mathematician, rest in peace. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? He's like an old dude. He's like smoking outside. What's his name? He's a legendary trader. It's escaping my...
I forgot it either, but I know what you mean. He runs like the Quant Fund and...
Yeah. Yeah, like the modern version of that is like crypto traders in their fucking rooms ripping the vape and staring at charts all day. Moving on, you said it was like end of last year, and then at ETH Denver, you met the Bearchain guys. I'm sure you had like quite a few options to on different chains where you could build, and I'm curious what made you guys choose Bearchain.
Yeah, so everybody is asking that question. When we started to build this, I know this is a deep end project. I know what the thing is. We just go into different routes. We care. Our target customer is consumer, right? This is really a consumer driven, fun product. So when I was trying to build this, there are several options. Base, that's for consumers, right? A lot of consumer, great consumer driven application there. There's Solana, and there's a new layer one, either, you know, Monad or Bearchain. We have different options here, obviously. But where can I get a best shot to go viral in the fastest way? And, you know, this is more like a founder's thought. And I think Bearchain can give us the great chance, because it's very cold. It's the meme culture, even the Genesis NFT bone bear is holding the bone, right? And even the founder Smokey.
Smoking is in the DNA. The literally, the name, I didn't even think of that.
So the name, the picture, the meme, the culture, the very cold, this kind of DJ vibe with all of the, you know, the DJ traders. You know, they originate from Olympus DAO, right? So a lot of this thing, I think it's a very clear signal that I can get a best shot here. And there was no deep in project on Bearchain. There was not that many consumer projects. We see a lot right now, right? But 6 months ago, there was not that many. So literally, we can be the first one, and we can get a lot of support from the ecosystem, from those folks. So eventually, we decided to go with Bearchain.
Yeah. Notice how you said nothing about proof of liquidity. It was all about culture, community, and memetics. And that is what attracted you to Bearchain. I think that's what Bearchain has done so well the past 2 years in building up to their launch.
Yeah, I think you are making a very good point. The reason I didn't mention POL is because there are so many great DeFi projects on Bearchain. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows what POL is. Bearchain does a very great $0 marketing effort on explaining everything about POL, right? We don't go that route. We have a different strategy. We care about consumers. Our mission is to bring more new users, real users, or you know, consumer that type of users to Bearchain, so that they can enjoy the POL, a lot of DeFi, you know, the mechanism of great new innovations with other DeFi protocols on Bearchain. We are not competing with them. We are more like friends with every single DeFi or every application on Bearchain, because there's no such majority game at all, right? So it's our mission is to use our game, the big to earn game, to bring more fun to the users. And then they can choose to, you know, bridge or connect with those POL games. So I've never, you know, tried to even, you know, explain too much or reveal too much about what's the connection between our tokenomics with the POL, with the general, you know, the broader Bearchain POL mechanism. So I've never tried to do that. I don't want people to focus on that part. I want people to focus on the consumer part. Maybe you are a trader, you are a DeFi guru, you know, you are, you know, very Web3 investor, financial driven investor. Still, you smoke, you vape, you have fun, you are a consumer for me. There's no difference for me. That's why, like, those DeFi, I'm pretty close with all of the DeFi eco-founders on Bearchain. They are like my KOL. They are like my influencer.
Yeah.
They can show for me in their community. Maybe when they're going to other product, maybe they say, oh, what's the yield, right? What's the return? And how good can you be with trading? But at the end of the day, they are still smoking too. There's a lot of pressure when doing the trading stuff, right?
Yeah.
Especially for the high, you know, the high frequency, you know, that kind of trading. So they are my consumer. They are my smoker. They are the guy who I'm trying to help.
They're your guys. Yeah. Hey, you guys help each other.
exactly.
I was going to ask, so how does the game work? How do the tokenomics work for PuffPaw? The only thing I know is it's vaping to quit smoking. Is that like quit vaping? Is that quit smoking tobacco? Like what, how does it work? How does the game work? Go ahead.
Yeah. Let me just use this. This is the device that we are going to do for the first 10K. So let me use this to explain the mechanism. This is not a disposable vape. This is a vape that you have to keep buying the new pods. We have the pods here and we have the vape here, right? So initially you have to buy our ticket to get into the game. So you will get a free vape, several free pods. And this is, we have the encrypted chip here on the pods and also on the vape. So every time you put a pods onto the vape, we can identify the, you know, the unique identification number of each of the components, the pod and the vape. So that our main product here is the non-nicotine e-liquid, non-nicotine pod. We do carry 2% or 5% in country where it's legal. But the main mechanism here is if you go with the non-nicotine pod, you will maximize your daily return. So you smoke more with the non-nicotine pod, you earn more of the token. But if you go with 2% or 5%, the higher your nicotine level, if you vape more, you will earn less and less of the token. So it's a game between your financial return, financial incentive, and also your nicotine addiction. If you are a smoker, definitely like this non-nicotine pod that doesn't taste good, as good as the nicotine pop, of course, because it's an addiction. But when you're thinking about, oh, I gotta have some kind of nicotine, like this is, I'm dying, like I need some of it. So you will be willing to sacrifice that little bit financial return in order to maintain 1% or 2% of the nicotine. So that's how we make sure you are an organic user for us, right? And we are helping you to go down that route, you know, to quit nicotine. But, you know, from the beginning, it's very hard. This is addiction. It's very hard. So we are taking this step by step. We allow you to go with 2%, 1% at the beginning. And then gradually, because of that financial driven, financial return, you want to earn more. Everybody wants to earn more from the game, right? It's a human nature. So you'll be willing to lower and lower your nicotine. That's just how we migrate usage from 5% to 3% and then to the non-nicotine eventually.
And then what happens? Oh, wait, go ahead, Kent.
I just wanted to ask, in addition to that, now I'm thinking of a way to kind of game the system, right? Let's say I'm a 5% smoker, but then I move down to the 2%, but I consume the 2% vape pod three times faster than I would the 5% pod. Then does that mean I'm technically getting more nicotine out of it, but then I'm still vaping at a lower percentage? So it's like, how do you track the rate of consumption in addition to the percentage of consumption?
Very good question. So this is more, let me introduce further of this device. This is more like a smart device because we track every single puff because of the chip, the Bluetooth module, and the encryption, that part I just introduced. We can track every single puff, the duration, the timestamp, and the amount of puffs, and also the nicotine level, the flavor. So we know all of the data from this vaporizer. Your smoking activity, every single puff, is on blockchain. So when we're talking about nicotine dosage consumption, we know how many puffs you have. We know the nicotine level. So we know how much daily consumption you have with our device. And also because it's encrypted, there's no way for you to use other device to get into the game, right? So based on that data, we have the metrics. We have the chart for the daily activities. We know at what point you got to stop and at what point you can maximize your return, at which point you got to balance between your return and your smoking, the nicotine addiction. So when you're going lower with the nicotine, supposedly your overall consumption of the nicotine on that daily basis should be also lower as well, because we do have a limit for the puffs on each day. There are three factors in this game, in the Bitcoin game. There are three factors to determine how many tokens you will earn: the nicotine level, the amount of puffs, and also the rarity of your ticket. We used to call it a node, but everybody hates node, and we are not doing a node as a GPU or something like that. So you have to buy the ticket to get into the game. We have different rarity of the ticket, similar to NFT, right? So the higher rarity of the ticket, the higher mining efficiency you will have. So there are three factors. It's a mix between your virtual asset and your physical asset. So rarity, amount of puffs, and nicotine level. That's how we determine your daily return.
Got it. And what happens when someone quits? Like, I guess that's like, is this meant to be like a temporary game? It's just like, okay, like let's say somebody goes through it, they go 5%, 2%, 1%, then they quit. Then like, what happens at, I guess, like what happens at the end?
Yeah, I mean, our thesis is not to try to push or force people to quit vaping at all. Like, we are doing this in a very different way. I think as long as you can create a much, much better vaping experiences, it could be a fun thing for the next generation. Like, this is more for the social side. The reason that people hate vaping or thought a lot about us last week is because, they say, no matter what, vaping is bad for health. Vaping is this, vaping is that, you know, I better do nothing. But they're from the perspective of a non-smoker, of a non-vapor. They only care about the health part, but they don't know how struggling people are smoking, are vaping, and how struggling of that peer pressure of the young folk when you're in the early 20 or early, you know, late 20, you are hanging out with a friend, you know, at a club on the street. Everybody around you, they vape, and you have a lot of peer pressure that you are the only guy being left out. So what about the social anxiety of that perspective? I'm not trying to push people to quit vaping. I'm saying, if this is so bad, let's make it better. Let's make it much, much better with the e-liquid, with the mechanism. And meanwhile, you can have fun with your friends. Everybody's vaping together, and you know, just to have that kind of fun, you know, where you're hanging out with your friends, because it's not stoppable. Like, if you see the trend of vaping,
so it's in moderation, rate, it's right? Vaping in moderation.
Exactly. So we want to do this in the right way. We make sure that our e-liquid is organic, is edible. We only use food-based ingredients in our juice, so that it's edible. Like, that's something I cannot you know, I cannot really lie about that part. You got to make, you do the test, you got to find out what's the ingredients there. So we do a lot of that kind of innovation, trying to make this much, much better so that we can balance between your mental health and your physical health, right? If you are trying to force any young folks to quit anything, it's not going to work no matter what. Like they are just, they're just so against your will. Like you got to do it anyway. So if we cannot stop it, we make it 10 times better. We make it 100 times better. And we use it in the Web3 way, using the two earn game, the financial driven game, the financial incentive game to co-launch, to bootstrap this. So that's our short-term goal. But in the long run, what we think about this industry is that it's so it's very traditional. We've been in the vape industry for over 6 years. The number one problem is that because it's a tobacco product, there's no way to do paid promotion online for any tobacco product, right? So it's heavily relying on distributor and local smoke shop. That's why if you think about this thing, you always buy the vape, buy the smokes, buy the cigarettes from the local smoke shop. They take over 80% of the benefit, of the profit from this product, from the selling of the product. They leave smokers and the vapers paying a very high premium buying this from the smoke shop. And the other thing is, when it goes with a local smoke shop, the vape brands, the vape manufacturer, the vape companies, they have no chance to get in touch with the real smoker, with the real consumers. They don't have any of the access to their data, consumer background. Everything is stated with the local smoke shop, but they are not digitalized, right? It's not even there's no e-commerce. There's no such thing. So with our platform, with our mechanism, we can onboard, we are going to onboard tons of smokers, consumers on our platform on day one. We have that traffic. On the other side, we can pair them with the vape brands, with the vape manufacturers. They can get in touch with the users directly so that we can bypass those distributors and smoke shops. And meanwhile, they can get their data. They can help, we can help them to monetize from their data. And those brands, they can either use our mechanism on the platform and to make sure that they do a better version of the vape and to sell it, to promote, to sell to the other side of the users directly. This is something beyond, you know, the Web2 e-commerce. So this is the more longer term vision we're seeing with the platform, with this mechanism that we can build in the long run.
Got it.
Okay, I think I would love to take a side quest here and go down like let's build up your credibility, because right now a lot of people see Puff Paw as almost like a meme, right? It's like, hey, these guys just drop ship some vape and slap some NFT stickers on it, right? But clearly you come from 6 years in the industry with tons of experience and knowledge from that. Like, let's take just 5 minutes and educate people on not the business of the vape, but like the actual mechanic of a vape, like, you know, the heating vapor pod. Like, is there a sustainable way to do that and to produce that? Now it comes down to like sourcing of the juices, like the food base, as you're saying, that goes into the pod that, you know, people smoke. Like, can we dive into that part of the product?
Yeah, so the main part of the vape itself is the coil. You always have to make sure you have the best coil. The better quality of the coil, the way you inhale, it will feel smooth. Like, that's the biggest difference between the good quality of the vape and the bad quality of the vape, the cheap and expensive one. The coil, it takes a lot to do that. And that will feel very smooth. That will hurt less of your throat down through the whole respiratory system. So that's the first thing. The second thing is definitely so about the juice.
Is that coil like thing that heats up, or is that the coil is the thing that moves the vapor? Like, what does the coil do?
That's the thing, heats up the liquid and to make it more like a gas, like a smoke you inhale and out. Okay. Right. So that's the heating part of the device. Okay. The other side is definitely about, you mentioned about the juice, about the e-liquid. So you're going to make sure when you are producing, when you are getting the ingredients of that e-liquid, doing that in a factory, you have different options. You can go with the artificial chemicals. It's kind of like toxic. It's definitely bad for your body. Yeah. It's definitely toxic, right? But there's always a better way to do that. It's about how cheap you can get those ingredients versus how great quality and what's the better alternative you can use with that ingredients. So in order to achieve that same type of experience with a I'm not talking about the flavor. I'm more talking about how sustainable we can do with that material. There are different aspects. So you can choose that artificial ingredients, very cheap ingredients, or you can use the better natural or organic ingredients, food-based ingredients. There are tons of that food-based ingredients out there, different options. It's all about the price. So we want to make sure that we use the better pricing, better level, better quality of those ingredients so that we can achieve the same result of that kind of experience when you inhale of that e-liquid. So that's the thing every smoker can tell. If you buy the $10 vape comparing to the $20, $30 of the vape, it's totally different. And one thing I want to point out is that even as of today, there's still no scientific research saying that inhale using the vape is bad for your body, for your health. It's not a rumor, but it's very a misconception. When people are thinking about vaping, they always mix the nicotine part with the vaporizer. The biggest problem with the vape is that there's no way to quantify how much nicotine you take in. Our device is the first time ever we're quantify your nicotine dosage, your nicotine consumption. So when people are talking about, oh, the vape is so bad, they always talk about a vape, but the truth is about the nicotine. You are taking nicotine. That's why it's bad. And that's why what makes you feel sick or the toxic artificial ingredients. But it's not about a vaping itself, right? So that's the thing we have to keep telling people. If we can do the non-nicotine, if we can do the better, the organic ingredients, the natural ingredients, then there's really no scientific research or the proof saying this is still bad for your health. And remember, we are still comparing with cigarettes. So we're comparing with cigarettes. We are not comparing vaping with a non-vaping guy, with a non-smoker. That's not the point. The point is how do you help people who are currently vaping and smoking? How can we help them to get back? There are 1.3 billion of them out there. So that's the main difference here.
Okay, got it. To summarize, the two core components of a vape is the coil, which is used to heat up. That's the thing that, quote, vaporizes or turns that liquid into vapor. Then followingly, there is the e-liquid, which is the juice that is transformed into the vape. And this is where you have the nicotine and the flavors and all of that stuff. And like you were saying, you only source food-based components to go into the juice and also organic. That leads me to a question of sourcing and kind of manufacturing. Do you find your own coil? Do you create your own coil? Is there like a fabrication like plant that you own? And then we'll go to the juices after this.
Yeah. So we own the manufacturer. We build everything in house. Sorry, I need to correct that one. There's one thing. There's a chip. We don't do the chip. We buy the encrypted chip from our suppliers. That's the thing we don't do, right? But with the chip, with the Bluetooth module, with all of the components in the vaporizer, and also the vape itself, the coil, even the juice, everything is manufactured and built in house. That's our business. That's how we make so many vapes. We made 76 million vapes last year just for
$76 million.
76 million vapes. I'm not talking about US dollar sign. I'm talking about the vapes. Because that's the OEM. People are asking me, oh, why you make so much money and then you get into Web3. The truth is that it's not that much money because it's OEM. Like you do OEM in the bulk sell, supply to the brand. So we are not doing the brands in that segment.
Oh.
So it's not that much profit, to be honest. So we're not like we're already so financial independent and still doing this Web3 project. No, this is still like our new business. We're trying to do a better business here, getting more profit. Of course, it's a business. So with that background, what I'm trying to say is that we build everything in-house. So we make sure that the coil we use is the best coil. The illiquid, the juice, is the best quality of the juice. And when we first showed this at ECC and also at KBW last week, we have a lot of friends and, you know, the real people in person tried this product, and all of them give a very great feedback about the quality of the vaporizer we do there. So far we have a very great feedback, and I think they, you know, it's really about a word of mouth, like how people you know, review and comment about this product. So I think that's you know, people tell, so they tell about this. And if you are looking onto, if you are on Twitter, people thought about this idea, people thought about, you know, this project, but nobody says anything about the quality. Like nobody complained about, oh, by the way, I just tried their vape last week. There's no difference between their vape and Elf Bar. We never have that kind of comment, because if you try this, if you are a smoker, you know, this is a much, much better, very great, high quality vaporizer that we're doing. So that's the feedback we received.
Yeah. So it sounds like the few things that you're going for are just building a better quality product with, like, oh, well, this vape is a million times better than the other vapes because of the quality of the coil, because it's all about the coil. And the second thing is, I guess second and third thing is like distribution and data. With the data, you're getting information on your customers that you wouldn't normally get because you're dealing with the smoke shops and you can't do advertising, and it's actually quite opaque. And then with the distribution, you're just usually dealing with the smoke shops. And this kind of leads with my next question. Like, what's your plan for like go to market and distribution for Puff Paw?
Yeah, so the go to market side is pretty Web3. We are a Web3 degen game. Like, we're not trying to just launch another vape brand here, another vape product here. It's more about a vape tour, about how you keep it sustainable on the platform, right? So for the go to market, it's very strict Web3 degen way. In the early days, we're gonna launch 10K to 30K of this tickets. Once you buy the ticket, you will get a free vape, free pods, and help you to get into the game. So you will get a vape shipped to your door. You will get a pods. But what if you don't smoke? What if you just want to vape to earn with the game, right? You just care about a token as a DJ folks. So with every single vape, we have the code pairing with the vape. Once you buy the ticket, you hold that ticket, you can gift this vape, this pods, to your Web2 friend, to your smoking friend. Everybody has a friend who is a smoker. So we think there's a great chance that this can be a great gift for your friend to quit smoking, to quit nicotine. So once you receive that ticket, once you gift this to your friend got a vape, and he will pair the vape with the mobile app using Bluetooth. And then he can put that code into the mobile app. So there will be a borrower of the vape. There will be a lender of the vape. And both sides can share that money profit. So in your friend's perspective, he got a free vape, free pods. And he can now start to quit minting and start to earn, right? And he can get some financial incentive. In our mobile app, even on our vape, we show the US dollar. We don't even show the token. So your friend who doesn't know anything about Web3 can just earn, you know, in his mind, he's earning US dollar. But when he's trying to claim that rewards, we will educate him about, okay, behind this US dollar sign is such a token. We generate a wallet address for you. And if you want to claim it, you have to understand the logic about a smart contract, about a wallet address. And that's the way we onboard that Web2 user as our real consumer, using those Web3 degen folks as our free promoter. So this is how we started as a Web3 degen project. And our users will help us to, you know, spread and to tell the real smokers in the Web2 world, this is a way that you can onboard to this game. and help us to get in touch with the real smokers. That's just the first way. The second way that we are working with our partners in different countries. So the first one is Korea. We were at KBW because we were meeting with our juice factory partner there as well. So we will ship all of our empty pots to Korea, our Korean partner. They will fill the juice locally for us, and then they will take care of the shipment, the carrier logistic for us. They will ship the vape and the pots in, on behalf of us to our Korean users directly, so we can bypass the distributor and smoke shop. That's the other way we're thinking we're gonna do, to get a better deal for all of our users in Korea. Same kind of partnership we're doing with Malaysia, with Vietnam, with the European countries. So that's how we initially targeting the top vape countries with the largest amount of people of smokers in that country. And coincidentally, it's very overlapping with Web3 as well. In Asia, we have Southeast Asia, we have Korea, Japan, and Middle East. And also in the Europe side, the Europeans, they smoke a lot. It's definitely one of our best market in terms of business. It's our best market. I feel sorry about smokers. They smoke a lot. The west side of Europe, the east side, Ukraine, even Russia, the CIS, Middle East, everybody vapes. That's hard fact. Everybody vapes. Everybody smokes. So,
yeah. I'm curious, when you were raising and pitching this, what that experience was like. You're in Build-A-Bearer. We talked a little bit about that before. And then what was it like going to pitch to all these different VCs? Like, hey guys, vape to earn. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we had a very dense schedule where, we had a lot of tons of investor meetings. Under the course of 4 to 5 weeks during July and August, starting from July and ended up 1 week after ECC, met tons of investors in person and on Google Meeting or video calls. All of them can't believe this thing. Like, none of them can believe this when we first showing them this game. There are a lot of investors personally love this product, but due to the regulation, due to the investment thesis, they cannot invest in the vape to earn game. And the honest feedback is that when I'm telling them I'm using Web3 DeGen folks as our free promoter to get in touch with the real smokers, they can, the borrower and lender, they can share the money profit. When I'm talking about this part, I think that's the moment we get a tons of attention and attraction and positive feedback from these investors. Like, this is the first time we are using the real physical device to explain, to onboard more of the real consumers, Web2 general users out there. So this is, I think we have a very different feedback, compared to other, the pure, the on-chain product with the other projects there. So investors, it's very, I'll say it's a very controversial, conflict, that kind of feeling. They love this and they have never seen this before. And they say, what is quite novel again?
Yeah.
It's quite different. So we don't have that much challenge. Like, it's not about I have to convince investors, oh, this is a DeFi game. And I'm sorry, I lost my connection here. Can you hear me? Oh, I'm back. Okay. So I'll just keep going. So in my case, it's not like I have to convince investors that, oh, this DeFi strategy is going to work. And comparing to the other 50 lending protocols, like, well, what's our specialty? It's not like that. Like, investors, like, they don't even have that many questions, because first of all, they probably are not very familiar with the vape industry. They don't know, like, what's the difference between your vape and other competitors. The other thing is that there's nobody doing the vape to earn game in Web3. And literally, there's no competitor. There's no comparison. So we don't have that many questions from investors. They either love this so much, or either they just say, I don't want to do this at all. Like, I don't trust to earn game. So it's very, kind of like different ends. That's how we get a quick, very quick response and turnaround from the investors. They either want to do this, you know, I'm in, count me in. I really want to do this. It's really fun. It's really unique. Nobody has tried this before. Or like, oh, I'm sorry, we cannot do this. So it's very quick response from all of the investors. That's how we get a lot of attentions and commitments in the early days. And that's how we can close this in a fairly fast
period. And to give people a scale of how big the vaping market is, like by like how big is the TAM, the TAM for vaping? Yeah. Like how yeah. much revenue does it bring in
just
the
for
year? Yeah.
Just for, I don't have the revenue because a lot of them are private companies. But for the market size, just for vaporizer right now, it's $22 billion. Globally, it's $22 billion. But the real thing is we are not targeting the vape industry. We are targeting smokers. We are targeting to convert, using the financial incentive to convert nicotine smokers to the non-nic vape users, right? So our target customer is 1.3 billion smokers out there. I don't, like, this is the first time we're doing this business. I don't have a great number to show what's the conversion rate, how much penetration we can have, you know, in terms of smokers to the vapers. I don't have that number, but I can say it's a huge potential there because 1.3 billion smokers, especially in Europe and in Asia countries, it's a huge potential out there. Without a financial incentive, it doesn't make sense at all for any vape companies to do this kind of vaporizer, you know, targeting the traditional smokers. So it's literally a game combining the Web3 side and the vape side and try to create that new mechanism and the new possibility to convert smokers to vapers.
And you said you're giving out the first 10K, 30K tickets, the vapes for free and the cartridges for free. Is there a plan to sell them in the future? Like what is the business model in the future?
So we are we're selling the first 10K tickets. Okay. We're selling the tickets. It's like an NFT. It's
you're selling the tickets, right? And then
we're selling the ticket.
Okay,
you get a free vape. You get a free vape, free pods.
Okay.
To get into the gate. We're selling the ticket for you to enter the gate, right? So that's okay, that's our initial model. But after that, we are just going to sell the vape and the pods in our token. Like that's how we're going to monetize or how we make sure this business is just is sustainable. The first utility for the token is to keep buying the new pods in the game because this pod only gives you 1,000 puffs. You'll be running out of juice after 1,000 puffs. You have to keep buying the new pods. So that's the time you have to choose either buy with the token or with the credit card. If you go with the token, you will get a discount. So that's how we incentivize users to use more of the token side.
And when will this be available? Like when will the game be live?
We are actually gonna pre-sell the tickets very soon. We're targeting October. So we are in the same timeline with Bearchain mainnet, right? So once mainnet launches, we will ship all of the 10K vapes to our
users. Wait, so Bearchain mainnet October? Oh. I'm just kidding.
That's also... it's very funny. Yeah. Like, I know you definitely know because you're one of the core guys there. So it's something that we try to keep in the same schedule. We try to keep in the same pace with Bearchain. So that's the target timeline there.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
I want to go back to the business model and token model for a sec. And so you're saying you sell the NFT tickets. That's how you get the free vape with one pod. Then afterwards, you have to buy the pods, which only lasts for 1,000 puffs, using the Puff Paw token. And is there a two token system or is it just that one token that is used?
It's just one token. We don't think that for a 2RN game, it's really not about a dual token or even three token that system.
Gotcha.
I do think the cycle, if you have two tokens or three tokens, it will slow down the crash, sure, the death spiral of the token, right? The real problem is if you really, really have great utility and, you know, consumer scenario use cases for the token, the real business within that token, right? So the real business for us is for the consumer product to sell the vapes. That's a real business model here. And the difference is that we are using the token, we're using token this time. And because we have the limited quality of the users up front, so inevitably their financial return will be super high. I mean, that's pretty the same, probably pretty much the same for every project. But down the road, their incentive will get lower and lower and lower. For sure, that's how you make sure it's sustainable, right? You cannot always keep that high yield forever once you have more users on board. But mm-hmm. the difference is that you are using my vape. You are still consuming this product, this physical product. The longer we go, the more of that kind of loyalty you will have with this brand. So we are using this process to build a new consumer brand as well. Imagine like the very ideal case is that after 6 months, after 12 months, because you love this product, you love this brand so much that you will just stay with it. Doesn't matter if there is a financial return or not. The difference between us and Step In, I'm pretty good with Step In. They're my investors as well. But the difference is that we're trying to do a different thing here. We are not only have this, the two-earn game, the mobile app, but also we have a physical product. You are consuming the physical product on a daily basis. So that's a very different difference here. You are a consumer. You know the brand. You have the loyalty. We are fostered that loyalty here. Like if Step In has the real pair of sneakers right now, I will buy it. If they launch a Step In sneaker brand, I'm pretty sure a lot of people will buy it because they know this brand. They know this game was fun. They had a great experience there at some point. So that's the difference between the physical product and just the on-chain gaming. So we're trying to put it together and we think we have a great potential in the future that once the financial return is really low, but still people need to vape at every single day. As long as we can keep deliver the new fun product there, different flavors or different mechanism, or even we do the customized vapes there. So as long as we can keep it fun and keep it, you know, compatible, you know, competitive with the other vape product in the market, then we can go really long.
Got it. And then in terms of the business model, then are you guys going to be selling the individual vaporizer without like the NFT tickets, or is buying the NFT the only way for you to join the game?
In the first day, we will only have 10K to 30K. We are not determined with a number yet, but that's a very generous NFT holders because they will have more benefits. They help us to launch the game, right? They help us to launch this consumer brand, this product. So they deserve to earn more from the game and they will have the exclusive benefit for the customization of the vape, for the flavors, for you know, the IRL events and for the benefits. And a lot of other benefits such as referrals, like where you are referring new smokers to the platform, you will get a return, you will get a cashback, you will get a rebate, whatever that definition is. But that's only for the Genesis holders. Later on, once we pass the initial phase of the code launch, we will just sell the vapes in the token and there will be no more that kind of benefits later on. So, you know, that's the difference between the NFT and later on selling the vape with the token.
Gotcha. And I also see a huge social play element here. The fact that, you know, all these things are effectively IoT and, you know, Bluetooth enabled. You can track all this data. You could literally group up with your friends and have like almost this social pressure to like smoke less and vape more. And like, you know, join my smoking clan. You know what I mean? I'd be like, Dave, dude, stop puffing that 5%, bro. You're costing us.
Vaping's the one thing I don't do, actually. You it's know, really exactly. It's my exactly. one not vice. I'm sorry.
That's why you gotta start the e-liquid. That's why
you gotta start the e-liquid. I would go with the illiquid, like 0%. I'm like, I would win.
Yeah. There's one thing I do want to clarify is that On a daily basis, we are not trying to incentivize people to vape infinitely or to vape too much, to vape more in order to earn more. That's the mechanism, yes. But we always have a cap. Every day, we are capped at 120 to 150 puffs. You are not allowed to puff infinitely, even going with the non-licking pot, right? We want the people to carry the space as a method, as a tool to quit nicotine. We are requiring users to carry the vape with their phone, to connect it with their phone at all time. Otherwise, we'll think you are cheating the game. You have to buy it, you have to carry it, and to avoid using other vaporizers. So it's not about carry it to vape all the time. If you vape over 120 puffs, there's no more incentive. You are wasting your gas.
It's
you're
all
wasting
about moderation.
Your juice. Yeah, yeah. Because you have to use the token to buy more pods. Think about that. That's your investment into this game. So if you are not earning the token back, why you're wasting your initial
you're wasting
investment,
tokens,
right?
You're burning.
You're literally burning,
or so vaping, I should say. So since you're in Barrachain, are there any like partnerships with other Barrachain projects? Like, is there any like DeFi integrations or like anything? Like, are you guys going to do anything with like the BGT games? Like, or not? Like, you haven't really thought about that.
So, I mean, this is the first podcast I'm doing after the racing. I've never said this in public, so this is like something just for you guys. We are incubated by Barrachain. We will have our own node. We run our own node. So when you're thinking about that, you know how important BGT is for any of the game on Barrachain, right? So since we have the access to determine where our BGT is allocated to our own, you know, LP or anything else, so we have that power to use the BGT to further incentivize people to get into this game. Imagine you vape and earn our own, you know, the Puff token, and then you provide liquidity there. You will earn not only just the Puff token, and you will also earn tons of the BGT token on our, you know, if you delegate to our node. So that's the thing we will have there. That's a very basic layer for the BGT game, but it's already a lot for us because we have the vape touring game at front. So we're not trying to make it overcomplicated for the BGT, for the DeFi flywheel game. But what I'm saying is that the return for our token side and also for the BGT side will be tremendous, will be a lot. You know, way beyond your imagination if you put that BGT part into the game.
Oh, wow. That's like a whole another element. That's so cool.
Yeah. It's a magic of Barrachain. For us, like, BGT is not our main business. It's a side business or benefit for our users. It's a side quest. Exactly. It's a side quest for our users. That's why I think if you know the BGT game, the BGT were on Barrachain, you will come to us from other DeFi protocols as well. It's another factor to convince them, those DeFi traders, to join our game as well. So it's really a double sided thing. It's really a mutual benefit for us and for other DeFi protocols like Kodiak and Infrared. They're my investors as well. So let's put it that way. We're gonna be good friends and shaking hands and, you know, let everybody doing different enjoy different side of the games.
Yeah, and it's incentives all the way down. At the end of the
day. Exactly. Yeah,
that was my last question. Wrapping up here, but before we go, we always ask one question to all our guests, and that question is, who do you want to see as a guest? Who would you recommend to come on Flywheel?
That's a very good question. I do want to see more of the consumer crypto application projects doing the new fun thing. So I would nominate, if there's a nomination, I would nominate the founder of Chipped. They do the NFC.
Oh, I had it wrong.
NFC is the chip.
I got Winnie Young. Yep.
That's awesome. She's awesome. And
yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's great. Oh, if you already had heard that's a very good sign. Doing more of the consumer crypto side of the business. I mean, that's definitely more fun. Yeah, I would highly recommend everybody to take a look of that product. We're gonna try to have more fun, more real use case scenarios, social scenarios with this type of project. I'm not saying I'm partnered with Chip. I hope so. But the thing is that because we have the NFC here, if you tap this vape with another vape, you will add friends with him and you guys will earn more of the Puff token on our mobile app. You can check his profile, you can add friends, you can talk, you can earn more crypto, right? So we are incentivizing people to walk out of their door to touch grass and to make friends using our physical product. Same concept with Chipped, with their nails. You can add friends as well. So yeah, a lot of, you know, similar concept that we come together as a social, you know, the consumer crypto project using this physical product. It's just going to be a lot more fun if you put a financial incentive into that ballpark.
Yeah, absolutely. Kit, I think we've done a really good job with our guests because I feel like more and more when people recommend guests, we've already had them on. And so like, give yourself that.
Other This is the early alpha. This is a place to get the early alpha.
It really is. Yeah. two years and change doing this. You know, you almost have everyone on. But anyways, before we go, can you let people know where they can learn more about Puffpaw, where they can find it online, where they can find you on your socials?
Yeah, so please give a follow of Puffpaw_XYZ. That's where we go with Twitter, and also we have mayor articles. Go to our website, puffpaw.xyz. You can check our article, you can check our, you know, we have a Zora, we have a lot of fun thing there. And also we're going to have a pre-sale of the 10K tickets, the first ever 10K users that can get into the game to get our real device to enjoy this fun thing with their friends. We're going to pre-sale this in October and that will be on Bearchain, but we take all kinds of users from, you know, around the world. So we'll figure out a way to help you, to onboard you. Just, you know, keep your eye on that. That's coming up.
Awesome. Rafael, thank you so much for coming on. We hope to see you soon.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for the time.
See you. All right. Welcome to the Post Game Show. I'm your host, DeFi Dave, here, as always, with Capital K. And this time around, we're finishing up an episode with Refo of Puffpaw. This is the second consumer app we had on, because as he's pointed out, we had on Winnie before. But this is the first to earn dApp we've had on the podcast. And I think this is really cool. Like, honestly, when I saw this raise, and I've heard of Puffpaw before, you know, I heard about like them raising and I saw the announcement, but I'm really bullish these types of physical social applications that like get people like moving in a game like this and like get people active and like doing something. And it isn't just like, oh, vape infinitely. It's like, no, you have to like vape like a certain amount to get the token. There's like a nice feedback loop at play here. What are your thoughts on this one?
I think it's a really novel implementation of crypto economic incentive systems. And it's great to see it kind of manifest in kind of almost an impact way where you're trying to get smokers to, you know, be better.
I don't think this would work the same way if it was just like, oh, like vape to earn and just like, you know how Stefan, it's just like the more steps you take, the more step in token you earn. I feel like if it was like that, it wouldn't work because like I think that's easier to Sybil. But with like this, it's like only like a certain amount of
You have to actually use the product the way it's meant to be used and not abuse it. Like people in Stepin were putting it in their car and driving around and kind of collecting all these distance, right? There's no way you're going to hire like what, a whole warehouse full of people just to puff on these things for you. Only 150 of them though. So then, you know, you can't do it all day. So there's no way to industrially farm this. You really have to be a user, and I think that's quite, you know, awesome. Again, I said this offline, but the tokenomics, I'm still yet to be convinced on that. I feel like they're they just need something more to keep the users coming outside of
I
just
I wonder
as
how
a
like
spend
BGT
token.
Will affect that, like, you know, the
sure,
whole
sure, yeah. sure, sure. But as an end user, you really don't really care, right? Because it's just points to me. It's just be annoying, if, I would imagine, from a user experience that if 1 week I was earning like, you know, $10, $20, but the next week I'm only earning $5 and I still smoke the same amount. The pod still costs the same. Like all my cost and effort is the same, yet my rewards are fluctuating. That's not very fun, in my opinion.
Yeah. I guess we'll wait and see what happens. We'll just have to puff and wait. But anyways, that was Puff Paw. And if you want to catch more episodes, we'll probably, you know, I want to do more Bearish Team projects. I've been saying that and we've like finally got one. There's like a number of other ones I'd like to do. Like mm-hmm. seen Exponents, you know, who else is there?
Infrared, Kodiak.
Infrared, Kodiak.
I have those guys, so I can bring them on if you want.
Yeah, we should definitely do like Exponents and Infrared. Definitely Infrared. But anyways, if you want to catch those, make sure you go ahead, hit that bell button, subscribe, give us a like. Let us know what you think in the comments below. Follow us on all of our socials at FlyWheelDeFi on Twitter, TikTok, and Telegram. You can follow me on Twitter at DeFiDave22.
You can follow me at 0xCapital_K.
And we'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Everything said on this episode is not financial or tax advice. This channel is strictly for educational purposes and is not an investment advice or solicitation to buy or sell any assets or to make any financial decisions. This video is not tax advice whatsoever. Please talk to your accountant and do your own research.